So I have some news that I don't know how to feel about, which, huh? Too many prepositions.
Is it that you're stepping down as an English teacher?
I'll step down on you.
Good Lord.
So, yes, USI did change their insurance provider, and my dentist, Bradley Bath, the one who always, hey, kiddos me, you know?
We're giving names here. Okay,
I've said his name before.
Oh, sure. Go on. Yeah. Okay.
He's no longer in my network.
So, that's bullcrap.
So, I'm going to have to find a new dentist.
Oh, Bradley.
And, you know, it's like I've known him for 10 years and he's always done good work on my teeth and everything. But then there is that weird, awkward thing where he calls me sport and kiddo and
you
I'm 40 years old.
You say weird, awkward. That's nice. Come on, sport, kiddo, princess, pal, hoss.
Oh, little lady. That's another one that he calls me.
Champ, buckaroo.
So, you know, I feel like we've had a nice 10-year relationship.
Homie. Dog.
So I guess, you know, I feel conflicted. Like this is a situation where I'd have to like actually break up, right? Because
right.
He has to send my records to my new dentist, I guess. So it's not like with a hairdresser.
Well, you don't have to talk to him.
I don't.
You can ask your new dentist to request those records and you can fill out a release.
Oh, that's like getting my new partner to go to my old partner's house and pick up my box of CDs or something.
It sure is. And when your new partner gets to the old partner, he's going to call him Champ. Here you go, Champ.
Oh, no.
Be good to her, sport.
This is Alice.
And this is Doug.
And this is going terribly. Oh my God.
Sorry, your penis is in the pudding.
1, 2, 3, 4, get your woman on the floor.
Get on the floor, woman.
Was that too much of a song to sing?
Is it a real song?
Yes. Gonna get up, get down.
Get your woman on the floor?
Get up, get down.
Do they mean like dancing?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like, I don't know.
Like trotting on her?
I don't know if it was sexual or if it was like putting her in her place. I mean, either way, it's still putting her in her place. But one way, she enjoys it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, daddy.
Which way?
Look, and it's okay. No kink shaming, but why do some women like calling their paramours daddy?
Mm. Oh, yeah, like,
Alice.
No, like Stevie Nicks said to Lindsey Buckingham in one of those recordings of Landslide. She's like, this is for you, daddy. And, you know, she's talking about Lindsey Buckingham.
Oh.
Even when they were not together, you know.
Okay.
You know, it's an interesting relationship that they have.
Sure.
But yeah, like the whole daddy thing is like, I don't know.
You know, because you'll hear, you know, they're doing their thing and she'd be like, give it to me, daddy. But you never hear him say, yes, mommy.
Well,
do it to me, mommy.
No, like Slater and Jesse on Saved by the Bell, he would call her mama.
It always goes back to
Private Bell. oh no, that sounds bad now.
Saving Private Bell.
Like the documentary that came out recently about the sexual assault on Nickelodeon sets and the actor Drake Bell coming forward.
Oh,
yeah. I could tell you didn't know about it. Sorry to bring this whole thing down.
I thought I gave a rather convincing.
You did, but
I don't know much about Nickelodeon sets, and I don't know who Drake Bell is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry to disappoint you. But if he did something bad.
No, he didn't do anything bad. He was the victim of sexual assault, like,
oh,
by
so
adults.
Sorry, Drake.
Yeah, by adults. Yeah, when he was a kid on Nickelodeon.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Bummer. Way to bring this down,
sorry,
Alice.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, the Jesse and the Slater and the hot mama. Oh, yeah, so the daddy issues. Yeah. So.
Sure. I was going to keep it down.
Oh, you were?
You're wanting to get back to Saved by the Bell.
Absent.
It's all right.
Absent dads causing a hole in their daughters' lives, and so they try to fill it in with
their penis.
With maybe older authority figures.
With A.C. Slater's penis.
Oh.
Is that weird because they were in high school?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the college years.
Oh, okay. Sex is okay in college.
Yeah. But not in high school. Kids, wait till you're 18. Or married. Or both. Get married when you're 18. What are the rules?
Isn't it half your age plus or minus 7?
That's what age you're supposed to get married?
Oh, I don't know.
What? I don't understand.
Anyway. No, your dating range, half your age plus or minus 7.
Oh, no,
I'm saying... not plus 7, not minus 7.
Minus half your age plus or minus 7.
Yeah, either way is fine.
DiCaprio's got this. Don't even worry about it, DiCaprio. Can we keep it down for a minute?
Oh, yeah, okay.
We'll keep it down for a minute, because, you know, it's the first episode of the new month,
mm-hmm.
and it's time for It Went Terribly.
April. I mean, Ute.
So It Went Terribly is where we take the last month's episodes and we go back and we figure out what we got wrong or what we need to expand upon, what we've learned and
mm-hmm.
learn more,
mm-hmm.
and we regurgitate it for you folks.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's basically just reading Wikipedia entries to you.
Basically, yes. Wikipedia has all the information we need. What else do you want? Are you off reading books for your research?
No.
Okay, then. Because you said for you. I was like, oh, screw you, Alice.
I mean for our audience.
Oh, okay. I thought you were digging at me.
No.
It's basically reading Wikipedia for you. No. I do real research, Doug. There was an episode we had with Jeannie Adams recently.
Oh, my God. What is this name?
And we talked about My Fair Lady, and you guys mentioned Rex Reed.
This is going to be a down?
And Rex,
a down note?
And Rex Reed wasn't in My Fair Lady. But you guys were like, hey, who's Rex Reed?
We were... It's a... Yeah, we were talking about Rex Harrison.
You got him mixed up. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But just...
But weren't we also talking about... Reed Richards of Fantastic Four, not Richard Reed.
Sure, but we figured out who that was,
oh,
right?
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll flip the name.
But we asked, who's Rex Reed?
Oh, that's a real person too?
Yeah.
Oh.
The question was posed, uh-huh. who's Rex Reed? So uh-huh. I looked him up. I was like, oh, I've heard of Rex Reed too. Rex Reed is a controversial figure,
oh.
Alice. So let me tell you some things that are going to make you angry.
It's going to go down.
Right. Rex Reed is a critic for the New York Observer.
A critic?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Those who can't do teach. Those who can't even teach. Critic.
Those who can't crit. Wait.
Sure. Those who can't critic, just spam the X button over and over again and hope something good happens.
Oh.
That's a video game reference. I think I nailed it. I don't know. So he's a critic. He's 85 years old. And he's known for getting... facts wrong a lot in his reviews.
No. Like us?
And he's also but he's a professional. He'll go review a movie and be like, oh, this person was in it. And they, no, they
oh,
weren't.
Oh, is he a movie critic?
Yeah. I mean, he's reviewed other things in the past, but I think he's primarily a movie critic.
What did he get wrong?
Well, not only does he get things wrong, he also sometimes is just kind of crappy.
Mm.
Let's go back to 1986, will we?
Mm.
With Marley... Matlin?
Oh, no. How dare? How dare
right,
we have anything
right?
bad to say about Marley Matlin?
Thank you. I wasn't trying to pronounce her last name. I felt bad. Sorry, Marley. She won the Oscar for Children of a Lesser God in 1986. Reed wrote that she had won because of a, quote, pity vote.
Oh.
And that a deaf character, playing a deaf character, was not really acting.
Oh!
This is a real person who's paid to be a critic. That's one.
Well, and okay, so I read something today about Coda, the movie that won Best Picture in 2022, I think.
I haven't heard of it, but go on.
I think I talked about it before. It's about the hearing daughter of
a
deaf family.
Okay, yeah.
It was a great movie, and it's a remake of a French film. And in the French film, they had hearing actors play the deaf mom and dad and brother. But in Coda, they made sure... Marley Matlin was the first to sign on, and she made sure to have deaf actors play the deaf characters.
Oh, I bet Rex Reed hated this.
I know, right?
He probably refused to watch it.
Hey, you know...
Best picture.
Yeah, in that time, it was all, ooh, an able-bodied person putting on a performance for a disabled person. Wow. Or an able-bodied person playing a mentally retarded character. Ooh, that's so impressive. But, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then... No, it's different.
Yes, yes. I'm trying to speed through these Rex Reed things. Mm-hmm. I want to make them known, but I don't want to spend too much. Well, I mean, unless we're just dogging the guy. No, we're just going to speak the truth, Rex. Don't you dare sue us for libel. We're dead. when Marissa Tomei won the Oscar in 1992 for My Cousin Vinny, he said that she had not actually won, but that presenter, Jack Palance, Palance if you're nasty, read the wrong name off the card. His claim was that Mr. Jack read the wrong name off the card.
Like a La La Land moment.
When it was pointed out there was only one name on the card, Rex Reed changed his story and said that Jack must have read the wrong name off the teleprompter then. Because there was no way Marissa Tomei could have won, Alice.
Who else was nominated that year? Who did Rex Reed want?
I don't know.
We're going to have to cover this next
month. No, absolutely not. But when this was proven wrong, he still refused to apologize.
My God.
Yep.
A terrible...
Yep. In a 2013 review of Identity Thief, starring Melissa McCarthy, he referred to Melissa McCarthy as, quote, tractor-sized.
Oh, my God.
Humongous, obese, and, quote, a hippo.
Jeez.
Rex Reed, everybody.
Why is he still writing?
I don't know.
How does he still have a job?
In his 2017 review of The Shape of Water.
Which I haven't seen.
He referred to Guillermo del Toro as Benicio del Toro.
Oh, no.
And even misspelled Benicio.
What?
He also said
does
that
he not have an editor?
I don't know. He also said that he was from Spain, whereas Guillermo is from Mexico, Benicio is from Puerto Rico. Mm. Neither one of them is from Spain.
And how does he keep going to print?
I don't know. Lastly, the last one I have here, and there are many more. In 2017, he called Get Out, the very popular film Get Out. He called Get Out one of the 10 worst films of the year, saying, quote, I didn't care if all the black men are turned into robots.
My God.
This guy. So that's Rex Reed.
I wonder how I pulled that name out. It's like, I don't think I knew who this was.
Right.
But I must have heard people talking about him before, because how could he not be in the news, you know?
Apparently he has been quite a bit. And I guess that's how I had heard his name. And I probably like read something and then was like, ugh, and I got out of there real quick. Mm. Well, we could all share this experience together and the episode can only go up from here. When we get things wrong, it's all right. We're not paid for this. And we don't claim to be experts. So like earlier when I didn't know how to pronounce Jack Potts' name, it doesn't matter. Is it Plants?
I think it's Palance.
Good Lord. Sorry, Jack. Mr. P. What you got, Alice? What's some it went terribly this month?
Speaking of mispronunciations.
Oh, please.
Yes, I did look up that chocolate candy with the white sprinkles on it that you might put on gingerbread houses and the like.
Can you be more specific?
Well, the word is...
Nonpareils.
No.
Nonpareils. Nonpareils.
Nonpareils.
Steve Carell. Yeah, Steve Carell. I got you.
But what's fun is that the word nonpareil is actually another word. So it's not just the noun for these candies. It's an adjective meaning unmatched.
Oh.
So you can use it to describe a person, like outstanding in their field.
Oh. How so fun. Rex Reed is nonpareil. But like in the bad way.
Yeah.
Can it be the bad way? Or is it only good, like extraordinary?
I guess I don't know. The nonpareil critic known for his incendiary backwards opinions.
I don't know if you guys heard that, but there was a huge blast of thunder outside.
I don't think that was thunder.
What do you think? Did you fart?
I thought it was a truck.
Did you? It's time for Thunder Truck or Alice's Fart. It's one of our favorite games on this show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nonpareil.
That was a truck. Nonpareil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It reminds me of that shampoo from the 90s. Prel, you know?
I don't know.
No.
I use Pantel.
No, you don't.
Don't I? Pantel.
Pantel's not anything.
Sorry, Pant. I use Pantene.
Pantone, the colors?
Pantene Pro-V is my... I run non-Pareils through my hair. That's what I do. And occasionally, Steve Carell. Hey, yo! Anything else on non-Pareils?
Nope.
Okay. We'll move on then. Carol Burnett! This also comes from our Jenny episode. She said that Carol Burnett is alive and well. It took Jenny to report that to us. She said that she saw Carol Burnett in a new show. And I says, wow. I didn't think that she had like acted in a while. In case you're wondering out there, you can find Carol Burnett in the new Apple Plus show, Palm Royale.
Palm.
Mm-hmm. It stars Kristen Wiig. As an ambitious woman who schemes to secure her seat at America's most exclusive table, Palm Beach High Society, circa 1969.
Wow.
As Kristen Wiig, Ricky Martin.
What?
You heard me. Leslie Bibb, Allison Janney, Laura Dern, et cetera, et cetera. Carol Burnett is in 7 of 10 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, Ricky Martin, though.
Good cast.
Yeah, Upside, Inside Out.
Oh. He's, living La Vida Loca.
He is living La Vida Loca. I mean, he's in a show with Carol Burnett. What's going on, yeah, Ricky?
And all these other, like, women of a certain age.
Right?
Like, 40s and 50s.
And, like,
and
big times.
Mm-hmm.
Janney, Dern.
Yeah.
Wig. I don't know. I'm a movie poster now. So anyway, it's on Apple Plus. You can check it out. Carol Burnett, she'll be 91 soon.
Mm. Okay, well, I guess I have a segue into another Carol, kind of.
Well done, Alice.
The episode...
This is about Christmas?
No.
Walking Dead?
What does that have to do with Walking Dead?
Very popular character from The Walking Dead, Carol.
Excuse me.
Please go on.
I guess this is more about Joe Exotic. And maybe it's not going to be that interesting to everyone else because during the pandemic, everyone watched that Tiger King documentary except us.
Oh, you're going to tell us what the Tiger King is about?
Kind of, but I also
found some... How much of it I got right?
I found some new stuff.
Okay. And I think I nailed it. For those who missed it...
But I thought we were making stuff up. I didn't think you actually knew stuff about it.
Shut up, Alice. Fine. Fine. Let the people in on it. For those who weren't around...
I still don't know the truth.
I summarized the Tiger King program, even though I've never seen the Tiger King.
Oh.
I took a guess about what I thought it was about.
Okay, so you were guessing.
Yeah, but the people didn't need to know.
But you got it right, is what...
Oh, how about that? All right. Thank you. I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Nobody knows anything. I don't know the truth.
He took care of tigers, and then somebody died.
Okay. So Joe Exotic was born Joseph Allen Maldonado, ran the Greater Wynwood Exotic Animal Park. He is currently serving a 21-year sentence at Federal Medical Center Fort Worth for shooting horses to feed his tigers.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah, so
you shooting horses?
He's the villain. Okay. I mean, like, for a while, I didn't know if, like, Carol Baskin was the villain because of, you know, that song. Like, that bitch, Carol Baskin.
Didn't she kill her husband or something?
No, that's the thing.
Okay, see,
Joe,
I told you I didn't know.
Yeah, Joe, he kind of perpetuated that myth. The documentarians kind of perpetuated that as well.
That's what they do.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
Yeah, throwing
that's
the woman under the bus.
Oh, I meant just anyone. What if anything for sensationalism? I don't think all documentarians are after documentarians. Documentarians are after women, Alice.
Documentarels.
Documentary Carell. All documentarians are not Rex Reed. Okay.
Whoa.
Go on.
Okay. And for a conspiracy to commit murder for hire of his rival, Karen Baskin, founder of Big Cat Rescue.
He was going to kill her too?
Conspiracy to, like, he might have hired hitmen or been in talks to do so.
Wait, is she dead?
No.
Oh, okay. But, so where's her husband?
Okay, here we go.
Is he alive and well?
No.
Mr. Baskin? Robin Baskin?
Not that one. Her former husband.
She had two husbands?
Is Wait, that what? So scandalous?
Why is that the big thing? Wait a minute. You're telling me this lady had two husbands.
Oh my God. No, that bitch.
My initial reaction was sincere because I thought you were saying like at the same time.
Oh. Oh, is that?
I mean, it's still not the biggest deal in the world, but it's surprising that we don't hear more of it.
Okay, so yeah, so he perpetuated that conspiracy, that paranoia surrounding the disappearance and or death of her first husband, Don Lewis. But she has never been...
Sounds like a fake man.
Okay. Which she has been... She has never been under official suspicion for.
Wait, where is Don Lewis?
He's dead or he disappeared.
Okay. Okay. The dude disappeared. I don't need
more information. But he also had a history of mental illness. So,
how long after Don Lewis was dead did she hook up with Mr. Robin Baskin?
A bit, I feel like. You know, five to 10 years.
Oh, okay. So Robin Baskin is not under suspicion.
Where did you pull this name of Robin Baskin?
He's the ice cream man. Pay attention, Alice.
I don't think that's his name.
Tiger King and the Ice Cream Man. It's a popular detective show. USA Network coming this fall.
Fun. It I want to see a tiger licking an ice cream cone.
They're both nicknames, Alice. I know. I'm sorry.
It's not a tiger.
I ruined it all. Tiger King and the Ice Cream Man. Solving all the crime that they can. Having some ice cream. Going to the zoo. Don't look now. They'll put a cage around you. Tiger King.
Okay. I mean, Tiger King is the problem here. Because in that documentary, they misrepresented Carol Baskin, which made her a victim of cyberbullying, while sure. Joe Exotic became a cult figure with many rallying behind him for his release, including hip-hop artist Cardi B.
Okay.
So.
This has gone too far. Yeah. We're like 4 years late to this story.
I know. And I'm reading this and I'm like, wow, this is awful.
Everyone listening is like, yeah, I know.
This is happening during the pandemic. And honestly, I didn't watch that much stuff during the pandemic. I was still in my like media blackout phase.
Sure.
But did you watch a lot of things?
Like 100 movies.
But not this.
No. I don't really like reality TV documentaries. I can't say the word
documentary.
I can't say any of those. Documonorail?
Monorail.
Tiger King and monorail, the Ice Cream Man monorail. Riding the documonorail. Town to town, solving lots of crime. That's what they do, Alice.
Anyway. So, yeah, that's something I missed during the pandemic. But then, something more recent, of even more concerning note, perhaps, is that Joe Erotic ran as an independent candidate. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Isn't his name Joe Exotic?
Is that what? Did I not say that?
You certainly just called him Joe Erotic.
I did?
I don't know how long you've been saying it. I just caught it that time. Joe Erotic.
Wow, that's like one moment when I don't even remember saying a mistake. Freudian slip.
Joe Erotic and the Whipped Cream Man.
And I was like, oh, do you mean Joseph Allen Maldonado? Because I bet that's probably okay. The name he had to use. Because he ran as an independent candidate in the 2016 presidential election.
From prison?
Yeah.
Okay.
With against Trump and Hillary Clinton. Sure. And he actually got on the ballot in Colorado. Garnering 962 votes.
Oh, congratulations.
Right? And he was on the John Oliver show, and John Oliver coined the slogan, Make America Exotic Again.
Ah.
But then, of course, he couldn't win, so Exotic officially threw his support to Trump.
No.
But then, of even greater alarm, is that in 2022, he announced that he might run again. And for his running mate, he wanted...
Carol Baskin. No.
Social media guru, professional kickboxer, Greta Thunberg baiting, king of toxic masculinity, Andrew Tate.
I've heard of that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Is that the guy that got arrested because he ordered pizza?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he was baiting Greta Thunberg. And then...
I was really hoping you were going to say he was choosing as his running mate the Ice Cream Man. Tiger King and the Ice Cream Man running America the best that they can.
Okay, so
I'm never stopping.
Yeah. I like it. In 2023, he announced that he would run in 2024, this year of our Lord,
sure,
as a Democrat.
Oh,
so like how?
It's changed everything.
What is this bizarro world we're living
in? It doesn't matter. Like, he can't win.
Right.
And it's publicity and, you know.
But to bring this back around to Carol, so she hasn't disappeared from the media either.
Yeah, she's in that new show, Palm Royale.
Because apparently she was on Dancing with the Stars in 2020. What?
Of course she was.
She didn't get very far. But that's pretty funny because everything comes back to Dancing with the Stars.
Everything for you.
Everything.
She was too tired from digging all those graves to bury husbands in.
That is slander.
Oh, sorry.
Listen, and or libel.
I think everybody here knows I have no idea who Carol Baskin actually is. I don't know if she killed Don Lewis. I don't know if Don Lewis is a real person.
I just told you. Because he doesn't
sound real.
She probably didn't.
Well, she probably didn't. I don't know if she killed Robin Baskin.
No.
Probably not, because it sounds like Robin Baskin's still alive.
That sounds like a fake name.
Is that it? Are we done with Joe Erotic and the... The dildo
I can't
man.
Wait to listen to that back. What fun.
What's his real last name?
Maldonado.
Maldonado. Is it a coincidence that Maldonado sounds like an Italian ice cream?
Does it?
Tiger King and the ice cream man. Buongiorno. I don't know Italian. What's Italian?
I mean, you did it right there.
Buongiorno? Okay. Nice. I mean, obviously.
I mean, you sounded like Brad Pitt in Inglourious Bastards.
I don't watch
Buongiorno.
I don't watch movies whose titles I can't say, Alice.
That's not true.
I don't curse. It's the dumbest thing about me. And there are a lot of dumb things about me. I'll say the grossest stuff. Hey, your vagina's hanging out. You know, I'll say like the weirdest
thing.
Why is
things. That gross? You're always making women's parts gross.
Sorry, your penis is in the pudding. Please remove your penis from the pudding,
peen
sir.
The penis is in the pudding. Tiger
King and the Cosby Man run in prison with a pudding can. What's happening? Oh, are we still doing It Went Terribly?
Yes.
Sure. Alice, which came first, Crispix or Chex?
I looked this up!
Did you really? It's the stupidest thing.
I was really invested.
I have too much info about this.
Too much info? Okay, I only have a little bit, so.
Oh, good.
So I'll just start it, and then you can take You could take us home.
I hope all of your info is Chex. Okay, Duck, it's up to you now.
Oh. Right. Chex did come first when it was part of the Ralston Purina Company based in St. Louis, Missouri.
Word up.
Yeah, and it was originally called Shredded Ralston.
Yeah.
Sounds dirty.
It sounds so weird.
But this was 1936.
It's the Purina Company. It sounds like a dog food.
So is that Shredded is that Ralston. Company? Is that Ralston sounds like a dog's name.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Yeah,
feeding
you don't
dogs
want
to
shredded
dogs?
Dogs
what is this, Joe Exotic?
So is this Purina Company the same present-day Purina Company, Ralston Purina?
I didn't go that far.
Anyway, so Chex was created in 1936. And then
1936, yes.
And then it became Ralston became General Mills in like the 90s. And then Crispix is a Kellogg cereal that was introduced as a direct competitor to Chex. Many years later, 1983. It's like, why did it take so long for them to come up with a shredded crisp? I don't know.
Great. Trailed off a little bit at the end, but otherwise that went really well.
That's all I have.
Okay, so Chex, the original Chex was wheat, of course.
Whatever.
It was made of wheat. And in addition to it being recommended to folks as a breakfast cereal, it was suggested as soup croutons.
That's cute. I've never tried that before.
A snack with melted butter.
What?
Yes. Or to be...
Wait!
What? Just take some Chex and melt some butter on it, Alice. See what
you
get.
What? Sounds good.
I know, we don't do this anymore with Chex.
New Yum City.
Or to be made into homemade candy flavored with lemon and honey.
Aw, that's so cute.
You want all these things, don't you? Mm-hmm. That was 1936. In 1950, Rice Chex was introduced.
Whatever.
Same cereal, just with rice instead of wheat. 1951 is when Shredded Ralston changed to wheat Chex. So well, technically,
I thought wheat was the beginning.
Yes, it was made of wheat, but it was still called Shredded Ralston.
Oh, I see what you mean.
1951, the name changed. So technically,
Shredded Ralston sounds like a dance move.
Shredded Ralston.
Did you say shedded?
I hope so. The erotic Ralston. So technically, Rice Chex was around before wheat Chex.
Okay.
Because it was named 1 year before
the name changed.
Mm-hmm.
This is fascinating. I'm glad you're sharing
this. Is it really? Corn Chex was released in 1959. They just wanted to make Chex out of everything. They had it figured out. Anything can be Chex, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
A potato.
Potato Chex?
The side of a horse.
Ugh.
Oh, I'm saying like C-H-E-C-K-S. We went over that many, many, many episodes ago, mm-hmm. how you can write a check on anything.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Among the discontinued Chex flavors, Alice.
What?
Among the discontinued Chex flavors. It's my favorite joke. Oat Chex.
Yes. Yeah, I can see why that was discontinued.
But why would they get rid of it? There are so many oat cereals.
Exactly. Anyway. They need to be unique.
One that I wish was still out there, Bran Chex.
Gross.
Because I love Bran Flakes.
You do.
It's my favorite. Apple Cinnamon Chex.
Aw. Well, that sounds like a little too much.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Chex
is just classic.
Yeah. There's just nothing to it. Honeygram Chex.
Well, then we can't, I don't know, would we want butter and lemon all over that?
I want butter on that. You know I do. I don't want lemon on it.
Okay.
Vanilla Chex.
What years were these?
I don't have the years. Sorry.
Because that sounds like more of a modern, within the last 40 years, I guess, invention.
Right. It was
putting vanilla in everything.
Yeah. And Alice, unique to South Korea. So look out.
Matcha?
Because they are creative over there in South Korea. Green onion Chex.
Whoa! I would love that!
You would.
A savory Chex.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to put milk on it anyway.
Right.
You don't eat milk in your cereal because you're a psychopath.
I do too. That's Josh.
Oh, sorry. our friend Josh Weiland is a psychopath. But a lot of times
you don't eat cereal very much.
Yeah. A lot of times you don't.
If I have it in a bowl, I'll put milk in it.
Oh, okay.
But if I'm just eating it out of the carton, then no.
Eating it out of the carton like a psychopath. As you mentioned, Crispix showed up in 1983 to create...
What if we put some gravy on those green onion Chex?
Oh, my God. I hate everything you're saying. As you were saying, what if we put some gravy? I looked at my notes, and at every flavor of Chex that's ever existed, before you could get to the end of your sentence, and all of them sounded terrible.
With gravy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe bran Chex.
You like to have shrimp with bran?
It's true. Bran flakes with shrimp, pretty good.
No, you had it once.
Shrimp's expensive. It doesn't need to be wasted on cheap things like cereal. As you mentioned, Crispix was created to compete with Chex. Crispix is, however, different, Alice. Because
what?
It's rice.
It's a different shape.
It's rice on one side, corn on the other.
Did I know that?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
I think maybe when I've had Crispix before, I'm like, oh, one side is a different color. But I never thought they were different ingredients.
I would venture a guess that I've never had Crispix.
Oh.
I don't know that because like when people make Chex Mix and give it to you, maybe they use Crispix. I don't know.
I don't think so. Crispix is very identifiable. The shape is like a long hexagon.
Oh, okay. Do you think they would just call it Crisp Mix?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good, too.
I want to make a mix with Crispix. Crisp Mix.
It's hard to say. I no crisp longer like
mix.
It. Crisp Mix. Crisp Mix.
Crisp
time
Mix.
Time
Glover.
Is here.
That was good. I missed it.
It's okay, because speaking of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
What?
I have more.
About Crispix?
About Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, But isn't it my turn?
Yeah, I was trying to take advantage of a segue.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Thank you. don't Joe Exotic me, Alice.
No, what?
I don't know what that means. What is Dave Seville to the Chipmunks? I asked you and Ginny when Ginny was here. Is he their father?
She wasn't on that episode.
In my heart, she was. She was always here. Josh was here. Kevin Roach was here. Mick Foley was here. So, Dave Seville was the creator of Alvin and the Chipmunks, and also the character Dave in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
What fun!
He's a crazy man. So, what is Dave to the Chipmunks? He was a singer-songwriter who found the three Chipmunks and took them into his home, adopted them, dressed them up in cute little outfits, and turned them into singing sensations.
So, basically, he groomed them.
Yeah, you push your kids hard to be their best, I guess. Mm-hmm. The Alvin and the Chipmunks website has described him as their, quote, adoptive father, confidant, and songwriter.
I'd like a songwriter in my life.
I can be those things for you.
Okay. I don't want you to be my adoptive father.
Call me Daddy, Alice. Call me Daddy.
What a good end line. Too bad we're not finished.
I know.
See? See, that's what happens when you skip the order.
Wow. I'm not done anyway. Okay. I'm not done anyway. I got a lot of information. I left it out. It's too much. Too much for this episode. But if there's an article from Vulture, a great article from 2015 about David Seville. Mm. And
was he a barber? Nothing.
That's way over my head. I'm hoping later I'll listen back to this and I'll be like, oh, that's what she meant. It's an article about David Seville, his musical career before coming up with the Chipmunks, and then how he came up with the Chipmunks, which is exactly how you'd think he came up with the Chipmunks, by speeding up a tape recorder.
Oh, that's clever.
And then also about how Alvin was just like his 4-year-old son, Adam.
Aww.
And always...
causing mischief?
Yes, yes. He said the other kids were good. They left him alone to write and do his things, and then Adam would always come in. You know, as kids do. Mm. As kids do. So there's some information on Alvin and the Chipmunks, Dave Seville.
What fun. I used to like that show a lot when I was a kid.
Tiger King and the Chipmunks.
Well, speaking of other animals, I went ahead and looked up whether bears can smell menstrual blood.
Thanks.
Oh, because it doesn't matter for you? You don't care?
Yeah, I don't give a crap. I mean, if we're out in the woods together, if they're going to come after one of us, I guess I know I'm safe.
They can't! So there's no evidence for bears being more attracted to menstrual blood, but the urban legend started in 1967, mm-hmm, when grizzly bears in Glacier National Park killed two women, one of whom was menstruating, and the other one was nearing her cycle.
That sounds like evidence to me.
The official ruling was that the bears were attracted to the trash and the unsecured food at the campsite.
Yeah,
why would the bears kill them? Jeez,
this is like,
right?
This is like saying we don't have evidence that Doug likes chili, but one time he came into the kitchen, he ate a bowl of chili with the beans,
and
he ate another bowl of chili without the beans.
Oh my God, we need to make that.
He ate all this chili, but there's no evidence that he likes the chili. No, I'm just messing with you.
I don't think that's the right analogy.
Bears don't care. They'll kill indiscriminately.
Jeez.
No.
Okay, but then there were actual studies done.
Uh-huh.
In 1983, a study was done on captive polar bears.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Where they were exposed to different scents. And they did show an affinity for used tampons.
Oh, yeah.
And not non-menstrual human blood.
So polar bears.
But those were captive polar bears.
Polar bears be eating some minstrels.
Blood all over their white fur.
Or
their clear fur. In 1991, a similar exposure study was done on 46 wild black bears, and none of them reacted to used tampons or menstruating women in general.
These are some fun trials.
Yeah, how did they... where did they get all these used tampons?
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
All of this is to say women should not fear going out in the wild or the ocean, because they tried this on sharks, too.
Oh, okay.
When they are menstruating. So there's no link. Really.
Maybe fear camping in the Arctic.
Okay.
If you're menstruating.
Yes.
I found very similar information.
Oh, you looked this up, too?
Yeah. And I saw that test was done with used tampons, seal meat, and non-menstrual human blood. And the bears ate the seal meat and ate the used tampons, but ignored the non-menstrual human blood.
That's so interesting.
So they did like the, the menstrual stuff.
Yeah,
more.
And I also read that, like, because a lot of menstrual blood is not blood, you know, it's tissues and lining, whatever, you know.
This is a family show, Alice.
But I did find one other scintillating piece of reporting from...
Scintillating?
From Teen Vogue.
S-C-E-N-T.
I got it. Which claimed that domesticated animals are more likely to notice when their owners are menstruating through scent or hormonal changes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cats, but like they won't get violent or anything, it seems. Cats probably wouldn't care very much, but dogs... They'll sniff more. They might cuddle more, which might be true of animals because they sense when their owners have other ailments too. Mm-hmm. And am I calling menstruation an ailment? You know, sure, because it's just awful.
It's an ailment. You know, you're gonna have every month.
That's
the worst.
Yeah, like animals who can sniff out like cancer or something like that.
And I don't want to go down this path, so forgive me. It'll be a quick snippet, and you guys can just forget it. Mm. But if you want proof there's not a God, why would he make you guys, you gotta bleed every month for God, 5 to 7 days? What the frick, man?
Yeah, is there a mention of menstruation in the Bible?
Or not necessarily proof there's not a God, but proof that he doesn't really care for you.
For women, yeah.
Yes. Like, you guys, don't worry about it. Because, like, he could make that not happen. Like, oh, you can still have babies, and you don't have to bleed all the time. Because men can put babies in you, and
all they have to do is take out your rib. Or, all the men have to do is take out their own ribs.
Is that a vasectomy? Man, I'll go get a vasectomy today.
To create a child?
I'll do it to myself. No, to keep from having children.
What?
Like, yank out my rib, now I can't have babies.
No, God created Eve out of Adam's rib.
Sounds a little far-fetched. I didn't watch those shows during the pandemic, Alice. I'm sorry.
Okay. So one pet that will get violent is the iguana.
Really?
Yeah. So a smell of human menstruation is apparently reminiscent of the pheromones that adult female iguanas release when they're in heat.
Wow.
So be careful when you're menstruating around iguanas.
Yeah, I mean, that's good information. It just sounds silly. Mm-hmm. Wow. I didn't know iguanas could be violent.
They have claws, I guess.
Okay, cool.
So I guess just be careful where your face is at the time. And where that sensitive vaginal tissue is, I guess.
Stop saying sensual.
Sensitive,
sorry. Sometimes you hear what you want to hear.
Erotic.
Sensual vaginal tissue. Oh, that's what it was. Okay. I have one more.
About the periods?
No, about everything.
Well, I'm not done.
Okay.
My Google search led to, like, other questions people ask. And other people have asked, do bears get periods? And I didn't really think about this until I saw these questions. I'm like, wow, yeah, they're mammals. So, do bears get periods? No, they do not. But menstruation is considered a sole boon or gift of primates. So monkeys get periods.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
And they don't release as much blood as humans
for
some
not.
Unknown reason. But they do clean themselves, like, with natural matter or, you know, just their own tongues.
Pads?
Nope.
Menstrual cups?
But, okay, so I didn't go down. I wasn't ready for this whole rabbit hole, but there were, like, several scholarly articles about menstruation in captive and wild ape populations.
Yeah.
And I wondered if they are captive, if humans give them menstrual products. Like, would that be weird? I guess, yeah. You wouldn't install a tampon. Or do you make them wear diapers or something like that? Because monkeys wear diapers.
Sure. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. So I didn't explore further. Maybe another time.
I was really hoping that bears did menstruate because I was wondering if humans were more attracted to bear menstrual blood than regular bear blood.
Uh-huh.
But dang. Mm. It's another discussion, I guess. Did dweebs exist, Alice? This was a candy that I swore existed in the early 90s. The cousin to the nerd. Dweebs. They were, in my mind, they were a bigger, chewier version of nerds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, these definitely existed. But did they, Alice? They did!
Oh, yay!
Yeah, in the early 90s. They were only around for a few years. They were discontinued after only a few years. Very sad. But there's more to the story.
What? Oh, this is like the documentary section when it's like, dun, dun, dun. But little did they know.
Oh, yeah. They returned in Europe in 2022. After like
that's
30.
So soon.
After like 30 years.
Or
what?
Recent.
It was like 30 years.
That's recent for us.
Oh. they returned in Europe in 2022, and they are still available in Europe. These dweebs. I'd like to get my hands on some. But wait, there's more. In May of 2024, that's month, Alice.
Oh, it's coming up.
Dweebs are to be exhibited at the Sweets and Snacks Expo in Indianapolis, Indiana.
What?
Right?
That's so close.
Right. And it's close physically and time-wise.
Yeah.
They said, quote, our presence at the expo signals a crucial step in our ambitious strategy to expand our distribution network across the United
They're
States.
They're going to take over the world.
The next sentence that I have is, so get ready, America. The Dweebs Revolution is coming to a store near you, ready to delight your taste buds and redefine your candy experience.
How?
Right?
Like, you just mentioned this, like, offhand.
I've missed these things for 30 years, and here they come.
To save the day.
To save us from the Carol Baskins and Rex Reeds of the world.
Why are you lumping the two of them together?
Oh, Carol was the good one. I'm sorry, I've always...
She's been vilified by the press.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Carol. Come on the show. That's probably a bad idea. I don't know enough about you, you know?
She knows a thing or two about getting rid of partners.
Oh my God, well, Alice, what the...
She'll give me some advice, you know?
You're vilifying her. You have anything else?
Yes.
Go
so
on.
So I looked up the tradition of pardoning turkeys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because we were talking about the death of Horace Vos, who, as everybody knows, was the Rhode Island turkey farmer.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, who provided all the presidents with their Thanksgiving turkeys.
Oh, yeah. Harris Vos.
Mm-hmm. From 1873 to his death in 1913.
Ah, it's a long time giving turkeys to old white dudes. Here, old rich white man, have a turkey.
After which, it was kind of a free-for-all. Like after his death, lots of other farmers got in on this, and then they had sent a raccoon
mm-hmm.
to
Calvin
the Coolidges,
uh-huh.
And they didn't want to eat it, so it became their pet, the White House pet. But I looked up the National Thanksgiving Turkey Presentation, so that's the tradition. Dates back to 1940s.
Sure.
And around then, the turkey was slaughtered and eaten, but it was only in the 70s when letting the turkey live became the norm. George H.W. Bush started the official tradition of pardoning the turkey. And but prior to that, Ronald Reagan, I think, was the first to say pardon the turkey as kind of a throwaway gag, like to draw attention away from whatever scandal he was in. And then I found out that the pardoned turkeys got sent elsewhere to like to other farms, and that's kind of cute. And
children's farms, I believe.
Okay.
Oh,
what do you mean?
I think they were sent to children's farms.
Oh,
I don't know if they're petting zoos or what, or just farms where children can go hang out.
I didn't understand. I thought you meant like farms of children.
Farms of children, yes. It was a different time. We were pardoning turkeys and
farming children.
Yes, farming children. It was the pandemic, Alice.
Yes, sure. And some of these places, I guess I have kind of a connection to. Through the 80s and 90s, the turkeys went to Frying Pan Farm Park in Fairfax County, where I grew up.
That sounds an awful lot like they're going to kill those turkeys and eat them.
Right?
It's called Frying Pan?
Yeah.
Somebody watch those children.
In the 2000s, they enjoyed some time at Disneyland and Disney World, acting as honorary grand marshals of the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Aww.
And then, in the late 2010s, they were sent to Virginia Tech, my graduate school alma mater, as an homage to our mascot, the Hokey, which is like a turkey bird. It's a made-up turkey character, but like I feel like people have asked what a Hokey is before, and then somehow this answer was around the internet that it was a castrated male turkey, but I don't think that's not true. I think the Hokey as a mascot is just a made up turkey bird.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I feel like, I was there 2006 through 2009. So I might have been near one of these pardoned turkeys.
Ah, a presidential turkey. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I was closer to the president back then than I am now. In distance.
You knew him pretty well? No. Which president was that, Clinton? Uh-oh.
That was Obama.
Oh, sorry. I keep mixing up how old you are.
I said 2006 to 2009.
I keep mixing up how old presidents are, I guess. My fellow Americans. Allow me to introduce you to my good friend, Alice Shin. Alice and I are going to eat this turkey together.
No, he's pardoned.
Then we're going to put this little boy in a frying pan. Yes, we can.
Is that the first time you've ever done an Obama impression?
it's somewhere between Obama and Morgan Freeman. Neither one of them is very good. But,
but the cadence. Yeah, it's not so much the timbre.
Sure.
It's more the cadence.
It's like it's an SNL. It's an SNL impression, really.
Well,
like
even even that's high praise.
Well, sorry. I mean, it's like Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds impression, you know? It's like, it's not a good Burt Reynolds, but he's got the cadence down.
Nobody
it's fine.
Knows.
Are we done yet?
Did you have more?
And that was... It
no,
went...
I have more!
Oh, my God.
Just one more.
Okay.
It's more of a personal thing.
A personal thing.
I talked about how in one of my
Is this about how you're attracted to menstrual blood? Go on.
Yeah, my name in one of my Facebook group chats was Hotones, like hot ones.
Yeah.
But actually, that's not my name anymore. And it hasn't been my name for like a year or so. I just didn't know. Because you can never see your own nickname in a group chat unless you go to the nicknames. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. But now my name is Panic at the Discourse. Like, you know, like academic discourse.
No, I get it.
And that band, that emo band, Panic at the Disco. Yeah.
Whoever gave you that name, do you think they're listening to this episode? Do you think they listen to the podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a great nickname, Alice. That is top notch. Just, oh, man. I love it. Panic at the Discourse.
What made you think I didn't give that name to myself? Yeah, you know how in groups you can't choose your own nickname.
Sorry, I kind of spaced out there. I was honestly trying to think of something punny to call you.
Well, I've come up with the best punny names for myself, so you probably can't come up with anything better.
Jeez, Alice. How about Farty McCooch Face.
That's not a pun.
I know, I'm sorry. I feel really weird about it, too. And I can't say that Brad Pitt movie's title. You could still be the Tiger Queen to my Ice Cream Man, though.
But I'm already the Owl
Ice Cream Tiger Queen and the Ice Cream Man! They'll never remember how to pronounce non-parial. Non-parial?
Dom Perignon.
Oh my God, Alice. Mm. Oh, we left one out. He's gonna kill us.
Who?
We left out the School of Rock thing.
Oh.
We talked about how there was nobody famous or interesting in the School of Rock TV show.
Yeah.
And then our friend Ben mentioned that he went to school.
He had a near miss with her.
He went to school with, how do you pronounce it? Is it Jama?
I don't know.
Jama Williamson?
I don't know. But okay. She was Wendy on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And she was also on The Good Place.
Wow. And she went to school here in Evansville, apparently.
I had no idea.
Where we live, where Ben lives, our friend. Mm-hmm. And turns out, you know, if you've listened this far, Ben had a little thing for her back in the day. The one that got away, Ben. Ben is a happily married man with children now. But he could have had Jama Williams.